ask an interest in your prayers tonight. The Spirit of the Lord would meet with us. While I write this on the board, could you all sing one more verse of that song, you young people that you just sang, please? Very thankful that the Lord is still hearing the prayers of people when they call on His name out of a sincere heart. The Lord is still listening and He's still answering. I've written on the board tonight, and the pen was a little lacking. But ask a question: is the blood still there? We sang the song tonight. There is power in what? In the blood. There is still power in the blood of Jesus tonight to cleanse from all sin. And if there is anyone here tonight that has begun to lose their hope, begin to feel like there was no way out, and you don't know where to turn, there is still, as the song says, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. I'd like to look in the book of Exodus a little bit to begin with this evening. In Exodus chapter 1... and just to, many of you know the Bible story, so we don't want to take a lot of time to recount it. But remember, the children of Israel, Israel's literal children and families, were living in Canaan, and a famine came upon the land. And because during that time period, or before then, Joseph had been sold into slavery, he was taken to Egypt, he went through all the trials and tribulations that he did, and he ended up in a position of power with Pharaoh. And he was placed in a position second only to the Pharaoh himself in the land of Egypt. And so Israel and his children and families, they moved to Egypt to escape the famine, where Joseph could, in essence, take care of them. And they settled there, and they began to grow, and they began to multiply. And they began to gain power. And we find here in the first chapter of Exodus, in the 8th verse, it said, "There arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." And because of that, they began to afflict the children of Israel. They enslaved them. They began to give them more work to do. They took away their freedoms because the Egyptians were a powerful people. And they did not want to lose the power that they had because of these foreigners that had come into their land. And the end result was the new Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. He didn't know the relationship that they had had with him. He did not know Joseph's God. And so they enslaved God's people. And we find that through time, there was a little baby boy that was born by the name of Moses. And he was placed in a basket because the babies were thrown into the river because they were trying to curtail the population of the Israelites. But that little baby boy was placed in a basket made with reeds and placed in the river, and it was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was taken into the palace, Pharaoh's palace, and raised as the king's son. You know the story that Moses, as he grew to manhood, he turned his back on the riches of Egypt. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And God had his hand on the life of Moses, and Moses was given a call, divine call from God, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, which represents captivity. It represents bondage. And you know the story that Moses went to Pharaoh, and he told him, he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen. And so God sent the plagues. River Nile turned to blood. All the fish died. Can you imagine? The river was turned to blood. I believe that. And the fish died. And Pharaoh still would not listen. So God sent frogs, a symbol of one of their gods. He sent frogs, and they were in their beds and in their rooms. They couldn't escape, and we're not talking about just a frog here and there jump leaping around. Frogs infested the land of Egypt, and when they came to die, the land stank. And Pharaoh still would not listen to the voice of God's servant. And so the scripture says that the dust of Egypt became lice. And everyone with their animals was lice infected. It wasn't just a couple here, or maybe a couple of the children that were scratching their heads. They were had lice was everywhere, and there was no escape among the Egyptians from the lice. These were God's judgments against a people that would not listen to his voice. And still, after all of that, Pharaoh would not listen. And so the Lord sent flies upon the land. And flies, that I watched and I was doing it. You feel a little bit ridiculous going like this and nobody sees what you're hitting at. But you know, these flies were everywhere. It wasn't just one or two. It was in their homes. It was landing all over their bodies. And flies, swarms of flies just were all over the land of Egypt. And yet, Pharaoh would not listen. You know, it sounds familiar. God is still talking to people today, and it seems as if they will not listen. I want to challenge and encourage you tonight. When the Lord speaks, listen to him. These were part of the judgments of God to wake the Egyptians up. And yet, with the flies, they wouldn't listen. So God sent a pestilence on the land, and all of the cattle of Egypt died. All of the cattle died, and yet they still would not listen. And so if that wasn't enough, God sent a judgment of boils upon the Egyptians. Scraping and scratching and bleeding, and the descriptions go on. They had boils all over their bodies. God was trying to get their attention. Will you listen? Listen to my servant. And yet Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let God's people go. God sent a hail upon the land. And the hail came down all over the land of the Egyptians. It did not touch where the Israelites dwelt. But the hail came on the land and it destroyed their crops. It pounded. I hear of farmers, we lost our crops. Why did it hail? I don't believe most of you farmers have ever seen anything like the judgment of God when he sent hail upon the land of Egypt. And yet they would not listen. And so God in his judgment. You see, I like to hear about the mercy of God. But let us not be deceived tonight. There are judgments of God. Amen. And when we refuse the dealings and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the judgments of God will come. They may be delayed because of His mercy, but they will come. And the people of Egypt still did not listen. And so God sent the locusts. And the locust devoured the fruit that was left on the trees, any crops that remained, anything that was edible that remained in the land of Egypt, the locust came down and ate them up. And they still would not listen. God sent a darkness upon the lands for 3 days. And yet Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. Have you seen people that the Spirit has dealt with them time and time again, and they still refuse to acknowledge God? You know how many plagues there were? The 10 plagues weren't there. Those were 9. The 10th one was of a different nature. In the book of Exodus, chapter 11, verse 4, Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight, in a dark time, when people are sleeping, He said, I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more." That last and devastating plague was one more judgment of God in an attempt to get their attention, in an attempt for them to acknowledge that there is a God that is above all gods. You see, it wasn't like the other plagues. When God sent the death angel over the land of Egypt in a time of darkness to take the firstborn son, it was a judgment against the very culture of Egypt. Because Egypt was built on the strength of the firstborn son. Pharaoh was the firstborn of the firstborn of the firstborn. And it wasn't like it is today where there's equality and oneness. If you are the firstborn son, there was great power and hopes that rested upon you as the firstborn. Just out of curiosity tonight, and we're going to get to this, it's going to bring us to a point. How many firstborn sons are there here tonight? There's quite a few, aren't there? The eldest son, God's judgment was against the very essence of where the Egyptians placed their trust. And so in the 12th chapter of Exodus, in the 29th verse, we find the fulfillment. It said, "It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." Want us to take note this evening that this happened just like God said it would. God said, "I'm going to take, the death angel is going to pass over the land, and the firstborn son is going to die." And it came to pass. Folks, tonight, when the Scripture has prophesied that something is going to happen, it's going to come to pass. The Lord has delayed His coming and His judgments on this time world because of His mercy. But it is going to come to pass just like He said it would. And there was a cry, it said. And do you know here tonight that people can doubt God? They can rationalize why they don't believe in God. We can rationalize tonight why we are not trusting in God. We can rationalize why we're just doing it a little bit differently than what the Bible teaches us. But when the death angel passed over, there was no one that was exempt from the judgment of God. None of the rationalizations, none of those that, well, I didn't believe it that way. Those things went out the window. In every home was affected with a mourning and a grief that had never been seen in the land of Egypt and has not been seen since. There were no exemptions to the judgment of God. There's some parallels here. I hope you start listening for it. There were no exemptions. Well, I'm Pharaoh, so my son is exempt. Pharaoh's son died that night when the death angel passed over. The criminal that was in the dungeon, his eldest son died. The doors that were closed, death reached in behind the closed doors. Death went into the open doors. Death went to the homes of the rich, and death went to the homes of the poor. Death went to the homes and the places of abode of the religious, and it went to those that did not have any faith. There was no escape because God said, the firstborn son of every home is going to die. And it happened just like he said it would. There was no escape, and there was a great cry heard throughout Egypt. I have woken many a night, and a shudder went over my body in a hut. Many different countries in Africa, I would wake up in the middle of the night, many times alone, by yourself, 9,000 miles from home. It's kind of lonely. In the dark of night, and all of a sudden, hearing screams and shrieks and the beating of drums and hollering and wailing. And the first time I heard it, it will affect you. What is going on? What is this? Someone had died in the home, and there was wailing. This is what happened throughout the land of Egypt. If all those that raised their hands tonight, if we woke up in the morning and they were all dead, what kind of place would this be? You hear wailing, and the neighbor comes out and says, my son is dead. And you think, oh no, that's horrible. And you walk into the room, the bedroom of your eldest son, and look, and he's lying there lifeless. It was the judgment of God that was poured out on a sinful people because they had rejected to acknowledge the living God. There were some people who woke up or were awake and their firstborn son was alive. Where there are judgments of God, there is always a way to escape. The judgments of God will come. They are coming, but there is a judgment of God that is coming tonight that mankind has never seen. It will be the last and the final judgment, and there will be wailing and mourning that will go on for eternity. It's going to happen just like he said. But he told his people in Exodus, in the 12th chapter as well, in verses 3 to 7. But in verse 7, he gave them instruction to take a lamb that is without blemish and sacrifice it. And he said, take the blood, in verse 7, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And in verse 11, he said, thou shalt eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and ye shall make eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And that's for another message. But his point there was, you're pilgrims and strangers in this land. You eat and be ready to go at a moment's notice. Don't get comfortable where you are living right now. And then in the 12th verse, he said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, when the death angel passed over, he was looking at the doorpost. And when he saw the blood, he said, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It will be a token that when the judgment of God comes, you can escape if the blood is on the doorpost. I couldn't help but think as I drove in this evening, I was literally looking at the houses and looking at the doorpost. Has the blood been applied? Because the judgments of God are coming. And it's going to happen just like you. There was nothing that could withstand the power of death that night except the blood of the Lamb. Only those who had obeyed and taken that lamb that was without blemish and took the blood and applied it on the doorpost, those were the only ones that were exempt from the judgments of God. Do you know the joy to go in and look at, my son is still alive because I listened and I obeyed the Lord. At this juncture in the message, and I'm not finished yet, but I've requested a song to be sung. So if Sister Lene, if you can come and sing a song for us tonight. There is a song that was written about a little Hebrew boy that asked a question that night. He said, Father, he said, is the blood still there? Is the blood still there? I want to be sure because the judgments of God, they're coming. And I don't want to die. Father, can you go back out? And can you just be sure that the blood is there? Listen to the words of this song.
One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. Now with the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep, but trembling voice so scared, crying, Father, would you please look and see if the blood is still there? And he said, Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow, the rain may fall,
I pass and I see the blood, I'm gonna keep on going, because the only escape tonight to the judgments of God are the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is our Passover. He is the lamb that was sacrificed, and it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight that we will escape the judgments of God. But I want, and I am encouraged with the blood of Jesus tonight, but I want to remind us tonight in the fear of God that there is a judgment that is coming upon all that are on the earth. And it is a judgment that we have never yet seen. When the Lord sent the flood, this earth was still in existence. There were still people that survived. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, but there were other cities that survived. We have seen in our lifetime, there have been severe, catastrophic tsunamis and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes. And it brought devastation in the land. Many people died and lost their lives, but it is nothing compared to what is going to come. The Lord is merciful, but it's going to happen just like He said, that the wrath of God is going to be poured out in judgment against all the workers of unrighteousness. And there is going to be a wailing and a regret that you have never heard. What I have heard in Africa brought a shudder over me, but it is nothing compared to what it's going to be from the judgment onward in eternity to those that have sin in their life, that have rejected time after time the dealings of the Spirit of God. The day of the Lord is going to come as what? As a thief in the night. Life is going on. And the Lord is going to come back when we don't expect it. And the scripture says, you can find it in the book of 2 Peter, but it says that the heavens shall pass away and the earth shall melt with a fervent heat, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Think it was Thursday and Friday, and I may get my figures off a little bit, but think it was Steve, Jeff, and Elon lost $25 billion in a little drop in the market that happened Thursday and Friday. $25 billion. Do you know that is a drop in the bucket for them? And there were a lot of people that were hurting the last couple of days financially. But do you know that it's nothing? Money, prestige, education, recognition, where you have gone to service, name recognition, your pedigree, none of those things are going to make a difference, because the judgment of God is going to come upon all them that are on the face of the earth. There's not going to be any escape. The scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment is coming. Do we know that? Do we recognize the reality? The Egyptians had seen the darkness. They'd been in the darkness. They had seen and experienced the boils and the lice and the flies and all of those things. And yet they rejected God until the death angel came. The Lord is doing everything in His mercy tonight to get us to heaven. The Lord is doing everything that He can to prepare us. But too many people are rejecting the voice of the Spirit of God. And the day is coming, and I believe it's not too far off, that the Lord is going to come back, and He's going to usher us into the judgment. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, and we will give an account of the things that we have done in life. Over in the book of Romans chapter 2, verses 3 to 9, he asked some questions. He said, do you think that you're going to escape the judgments of God? Do you think that you're different? Do you think that you'll be able to get by? He said in verse 5, after the hardness, an impotent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And he said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. That includes all of us tonight. How often, how long has it been since you've heard about the tribulation and the anguish that shall be upon every man that doeth evil? Everybody that rejects God and His way is doing evil. And we can sit back and say, but they're a good person, and why would God do that? No, it is a decision and a choice that God has placed before us, as we heard this morning. What are we going to choose? But the judgment is going to come. And it's going to come, and when it does, there's going to be an eternity of wailing. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which perceived him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And then John said, even so. He said, amen. Even so, it said that all kindreds of the earth shall wail. There will be a cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. There will be a cry to seek to escape the judgments of God. But when Jesus Christ comes back and ushers us to the judgment, there is going to be no more time to pray. There will be no more services like we have been in this meeting. No more opportunity to say, if I just had one more altar call service. Do you know we get... I appreciate our extended altar call services because we want to extend the opportunity for people to get the help they need. But do you know what it can cause if we're not careful? Delay. I've been some places, they sing one. People know if you're going to go seek help, now's the time. And I'm not proposing that tonight. But the point is, we get used to, well, when I get ready. When I get ready, I'll seek the Lord. When I get ready, when it's convenient, and when I, it's just, everything is just right. No more services. No more time to pray. No more time to say, Lord, I'm sorry. No more time to say, Lord, I accept the blood. The death angel is at the door. And if the blood has not been applied, the judgments of God, the judgment of eternal death and damnation will come upon every soul. And it doesn't matter who your grandparents are, and it doesn't matter that you are under the sound of the gospel tonight. None of us are exempt. We will all stand. Every secret thing is going to be revealed, and we're going to give an account of our life. And God in His mercy has extended time. You remember the parable that Jesus told about the man that came in to the wedding feast and it said he didn't put on his wedding garment? It wasn't because he couldn't afford it, because the wedding garment was given to the guests at the door. These are the clothes that we want you to wear, so here was what you need. And the man didn't put it on. He had opportunity. And when the master came and looked on him, and he said, friend, he said, why don't you have a wedding garment on? And he called for his servants to come, and he said, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He had opportunity, and he said, I don't want it. And the judgment of the king came upon that man. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? They both went out into eternity. And it said in hell, being in hell, the rich man, it said he lifted up his eyes, being in what? In torment. It's going to happen just like God said it would. We can cover tonight. We can excuse, we can act all spiritual, we can rationalize where we're at, but the judgments of God are going to come. And when it comes, folks, it's going to be swift, it's going to be sure. There's not going to be any escape, and we're all going to give an account. Lord, help us to take the story of what happened in Egypt and take warning tonight. It's going to come. And if you don't believe me tonight, the words that I speak from God's word, there will come a day, not too far off, will you will believe. Everybody that has gone out into eternity is a believer tonight, because they found that it's just like he said that it would be. But when God says that judgment is coming, there's good news. There is a way to escape tonight the judgments of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. He said, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? From wrath. God's wrath, God's judgment that is being stored up. We shall be saved from the wrath through him, being justified by the blood. Christ is our Passover tonight. There is a way that we can escape that welling, that eternal damnation, that eternal separation from all that is good. Like the rich man said, can you just have Lazarus dip his finger into some water and just touch my lips with it? I need some temporary escape. In eternity, there is no escape tonight. There is no way that you can escape it. There is nowhere to go. There is no place to hide. And you will forever be left with the memories of the dealings of the Spirit of God. You will remember the times that God said, would you be saved? You will remember the times that he said, you don't have to be a hypocrite. I can give you a real deliverance that you can live a holy life. And you'll remember those times. You will remember the times that you thought, well, I don't see it that way. How you see it tonight makes no difference to God. What matters is how God sees it. Are we willing tonight to understand and believe that it's going to happen just like he said? The wrath of God is fixing to be poured out in judgment. But there is a way to escape tonight, and it's by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture says the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from what? From all sin. You know tonight, it doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter what kinds of addictions you have. There is still power in the blood of Jesus tonight. And it can deliver you from all sin. If there is a pattern of failure in your life, there is a power tonight that is greater than failure, and it's found in the blood of Jesus. There's power tonight. There is an escape from the judgment. And when the judgment of God comes and we stand there in the Lord, he passes by. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for the blood. And now, how many years have you ministered, brother? I'm going to kind of take stock here. No, that's not what's going to allow us an escape. That's not what's going to bring eternal life. It's the blood of Jesus. It's not our righteousness tonight. It's, well, don't you know who I am or where I go to church? Let me tell you about the history. Those things are all right. But we are not saved by history. We are not saved by how much we have done for God. We are saved tonight by nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no man that can save you. There is no man that can save you. And there is no man that can make you unsaved. Your soul is in your hands tonight. The judgment is coming, and it's going to be awful. The awful day of judgment, and it will only be the beginning. But the good news tonight is that there is an experience that we can have with God tonight that I can know I am ready to meet the Lord when he comes back, because the blood of Jesus has been applied. Oh, thank God. There have been times that have been in battles and trials and temptations, and I came out feeling a little beaten up, feeling a little bit bruised, feeling a little bit wounded sometimes. But thank God, the blood of Jesus was still there, and I was still saved because of what God had done in my life. Tonight, I was reminded of song, the Star Spangled Banner. And those of you that know the history of that, during the War of 1812, I think it was a Fort Henry in Baltimore that was being bombarded by the British. The cannons were firing, the smoke filled the air, and there were those that were observing, and they were wondering through the night, did they surrender? Did they give up? And in the early morning, through the mist of the fog and the smoke, they saw the flag was still waving. Oh, tonight I know there have been people that have gone through very difficult things. But as the song says, the winds may come and the rain may come, but the blood has not been washed away. There's a power tonight that we can live under the power of the blood. There's one song we sing that, must I? Someone might have to help me out here. Yes, and today, talking about what's going on today and then tomorrow think I've gone astray. Yes. We don't want to live like that. You don't have to live like that tonight, folks. You don't have to live in a place that, well, today I feel I'm doing really good spiritually, and then next week it's like, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. There is an experience when the blood of Jesus has been applied that you can rest in that. Yes, there's still trials. Yes, there's still temptations, but there is victory. There is cleansing. There is a power that is in the blood of Jesus. And the power of the blood can do for you tonight what man cannot do. The touch of my hand will do nothing. But the blood of Jesus applied to every hurting soul tonight can do something divine that you can leave a different person. Thank God. He is our hope. It's our comfort. The blood of Jesus does not wash off easily. You have to make a decision. I am leaving the house. When the blood has been applied on the doorposts and up above it, you have to make a decision. I'm leaving this place and I'm going back to sin. But if you will stay under the power of the blood, when temptation comes, you can say, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And you will have authority over the enemy. Tonight, are you ready? Is the blood still there? Is the blood in your life tonight? The judgment of God is coming. Want us to remember that. Let's not forget it. But there is a place, an avenue of escape, an avenue of salvation. And if there are areas tonight of uncertainty in your life, you can come and reaffirm and say, Father, I'm not quite sure where I am, but I want to be sure the blood of Jesus has been applied, and I want to stand in that power tonight. Where are you at this evening? It's going to happen just like he said. But when the judgment of God comes and he sees the blood, he's going to pass over. Is there anyone tonight that would like to pray? Sinner, hypocrite, maybe you have a place of failure in your life. There is a solution from the judgment of God that is to come, and it is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's your Passover tonight.